T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, it's Hear Me Out Tuesdays. We've got our favorite therapists from the Gay Couples Institute, Sam Garanzini and Aleph Hakiyi. Welcome back.
What's up?
What's up? How was your pride?
Wonderful. We had such a great time. It was so nice meeting you guys, too.
Yes.
That was such a treat.
It was. We were live from the Abbey for everyone who might have listened or not listened. And finally, we all got to meet in person because we do this every Tuesday. But it was great to meet you guys. And now this topic today, keeping score. Let's talk about that. What does that mean to keep score or do tit for tat in a relationship?
So this topic today is really for everybody who feels kind of neglected in their relationship, where they feel as if their needs aren't being met somehow, or they find themselves bending over backwards for their partner, doing a lot of things, you know, being the one who, you know, does things around the house and then gets treated as if they're lazy, or the one who doesn't seem... Even though they might not be employed or they don't have a job right now, they try to make up for it in a lot of other ways that they think are meaningful, and it just doesn't seem to register, and they find themselves just not feeling valued.
Yeah, that's so interesting because I think it's both, you know, doing the chores and then you're told you're lazy. But then I also think it's one of those things like, can it be dangerous when you get into the sexual favors point system? Because I feel like that could be fun. And then if it continues, it could kind of be like, okay, this is getting old.
Yeah, see, so what we have there is, like, the one person that responded to this, he said his partner has a kink, and that's all that they seem to do. But the partner's never interested in doing anything but that.
And oh, so like doing, like, that, sexual, like, I'll do this for you if you do something for me, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there can be a little bit of that, but you can hear in the tone, even as we talk about this, that there's almost like a score keeping going on. Like, we've done this X many times and we haven't done that I want to do this many times. And what I wanted to remind everybody about is we know there's been a lot of nice research about relationships that when people start keeping score in a relationship, it's a sign of an ailing relationship. Mm-hmm. And I can prove it to you very easily. Have you ever had a friend where you say, like, something similar to, you know, we always go over to Kyle's house. Why don't they ever come over here? That's a sign of an ailing relationship. So if you find yourself keeping score or making comments like that, that's a sign that something needs to be addressed.
Or if you're thinking about it, like, what if there was a moment where there was, like, obviously trust issues and there's always something that people are, like, your partner's throwing back in your face. Like, if, you know, they want you to do something and they're like, oh, you just did this, like, you know, so many times ago, it's kind of, like, not allowing you to change. It's kind of keeping you in that box. I feel like that can be also a way of, like, keeping score in some way, right?
Absolutely. And I think when we talk to a lot of our gay couples or same-sex couples out there, they're really frustrated. Whereas, like, I'll do this for you, and there's nothing I wouldn't do to support you, to give you what you need and want, and you do it for that person. And when you ask that person to do something back that's similar, they won't do it. So it's really disappointing and it's frustrating. Yeah.
Yeah. I was a bit in a relationship with my ex like that, where I feel like maybe I'm, like, putting too much on myself credit, giving myself credit. But I feel like I would do anything, like, if he was sick and all that. And then when I was sick or needing something, I would have to ask. Like, it'd be like, come on, please, can you do this? And it'd be like, when do you need it by? It was just, like, always these conditions in a way. And that got really frustrating.
Yeah, so what you have there is actually, that's kind of a cool one you brought up there. We know that some people have, there is a lot of meaning, like there's a story behind it or a reason behind the way they'll want to be taken care of when they're sick. And it almost like it symbolizes something. They want somebody to notice, and there are people that don't have that as a larger value system, and they will sometimes throw that back in their face and saying like, oh, you're just being needy or whatever, or you should just get, I've, you know, you have all your cold medicine, why don't you just get better? And that's not really what it is. Yeah. It's that they want somebody to notice like, oh, you're not feeling well, what can I do for you? And that has a lot of meaning, and there's really nothing wrong with that. And ideally, you would be in a position when you're not sick to talk about that with your partner and just put that out there like, hey, this is a value system thing for me. It actually means a lot. It's a time where you could really turn toward me and you know, get a lot of points in the emotional bank account.
Well, yeah, that's actually interesting because I want to talk about that more, that value system, because how do you balance, you know, keeping kind of a checklist of everything that you want in a partner and being like, okay, they're willing to do that. They're willing to go this far. They're willing to be a ride or die, but then also not making sure that you're not keeping score in some weird way. Like, what's that balance?
No problem. We should get into that.
Oh, let's get in.
We have a few minutes.
Yeah, we have a few minutes.
No, I thought we had to go to a commercial.
We almost did. My bad. I thought we did.
So, what we have there, I mean, what this field of psychology used to think in the 70s, that it was like a contract, that it was kind of like give to get. And that's how marriages worked. Mm. And there was a lot of books written about it back then. And now that has been really disproven because it's not about give to get. It's just simply give. And we know that healthy relationships look, and this is true even with new ones like you're talking about, Ryan, where they have this atmosphere simply of give. And when you have two people that are giving a lot, then the score-keeping piece kind of really evaporates because there's a trust that develops that the other person is just going to continue to give, and I'm going to continue to give. That is the sign of health.
Is it possible to maintain that energy if you move into something long term? And how do you do it?
And so how you do it, that's a kind of a cool question, is how do you do it? Well, couples build this atmosphere of what we call reciprocity, where there's not really giving and keeping score of what they gave in order with the hopes of getting something back. What they do is they really create this atmosphere of just giving. And one of the hallmark ways that they did it was that they are continually doing what we call taking one another's temperature about how things are going in the relationship. And so almost proactively having kind of a connection time where they check in with one another and say, hey, how are things going?
And then how does that, I guess, incentivize or inspire giving?
So one of the things, as you mentioned, is how do you keep it going? Mm. It's a weekly ritual that the couple would go through to say, how are things going this week? Anything left on process? What do you need from me in the next coming week? Whoa. So you take this on a weekly basis so that you can take each other's temperature and tweak and adjust as needed.
You know, that sounds so easier.
Your question, though. Oops, sorry.
No, you're fine. I was just saying it sounds easier said than done. I feel like a lot of times those conversations can be very uncomfortable.
Often in the beginning, when we teach people to do this, those can be very long conversations. And then they get shorter and shorter the more they develop this, as we encourage it to be like a weekly habit of where they take the temperature of how things are going. Back to your question, though, Shira, I think I get what you're asking is how does that inspire giving? And so what we know is when someone's reaching out to you saying, how can I be a better partner to you this next coming week? When that is the atmosphere that you live in, that inspires other people to give themselves and to continue that atmosphere. Does it make sense? It creates an atmosphere of really just a lot of like of the word like yes.
Just open arms.
Yeah, it's juicy. I like to say it's a juicy dynamic. But then also, I feel like when you give, like you need to give without wanting to receive in a way, even though we all deserve to receive. Like you can't give thinking you're like going to always get something back. How do you get
exactly
there as an individual even?
Yeah.
And it really was that question of, hey, how do you think we're doing? And then how can I be a better partner to you through the coming week? And when that when that continually comes up as the atmosphere, you can see, you can hear, it's not how can I be a better partner to you this week so I can get all my other needs met. Mm. It's just how can I do it? And when that's the foundation, actually a lot of stuff gets easier. When we check in with our couples, like even 4, 5, 6, or we've been had our doors open for almost like 12 years now. When we check in with people a long time later and say, what out of all the stuff that we taught you are you still doing? It's this.
That's
They're
awesome.
Still having that kind of weekly check-in.
Yeah, so I guess how do you respond or deal with a partner who's is not functioning as a team and working towards these common goals?
I think reminding, this is why I like this exercise that we would share with everyone as well, is the structure of the exercise provides the stamina, the motivation to give it a try. That, you know, weekly, this is something you guys will talk about. Sometimes it'll go longer than others, but it really provides that structure for the two of you to have some basis to work off of.
Yeah. So have the conversation, maybe go to therapy if that still doesn't work. Maybe
sure
it's time to end things.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you guys so much. Again, Hear Me Out Tuesdays is every Tuesday right here on Channel Q with the best therapists around, Sam Garanzini and Alapaki. Thanks again.
Absolutely. And if you want to see this actual exercise, it is there just sitting right now for you on our blog. You just go to gaycouplesinstitute.org and hit articles and then just search State of the Union. And
okay.
There's the three-step format.
Awesome. Thank you. And have a great night. Love it.
Awesome.
See you next week.
It's a pleasure.
Bye.